Welcome to Excited by the Science, brought to you by the experts at EdOns.
Hi, I'm Tina. I hold a master's in civil and environmental engineering and a PhD in geophysics, and I've been active in researching, advocating, and communicating about earth and environmental science and conservation issues. Unfortunately, in this field, a lot of the research ends up reporting about the loss of biodiversity and how it's getting worse every day. So today, I'd like to bring in a ray of hope by showcasing a paper reporting results from a large-scale natural experiment that shows that it is possible to reverse biodiversity loss if we change the way we are doing things. So I'll start by introducing you to the research subjects: sharks and rays living along the east coast of North, Central, and South America. After that, I will talk about the before-after impact control experimental design that the authors used. Hopefully, this will help you to identify experimental designs that can be relevant to your own real-world data situations. Of course, I will present the main study findings. Now, effective storytelling is very important for communicating scientific research. So I'll highlight one of the figures in this paper, which, in my opinion, summarizes the main findings effectively and with impact. Now, sharks and rays are close cousins. They are both fish that have skeletons made of cartilage. They have long lives. Some species can live for tens or even up to hundreds of years. They move across wide expanses of the world's oceans. Their natural population growth rates are low, making them very vulnerable to overfishing. Over the last 50 years, the number of sharks and rays living in the open oceans has declined by 71% globally. And nearly half of the 600 species of sharks and rays living near the coast are threatened with extinction. So, to protect a species or reduce biodiversity loss, it is not always easy to identify the conservation actions that will be the most effective. Well, because it is difficult to do controlled experiments in the wild. In the lab, we can take two samples that are nearly identical, change one of them, then compare the impacted sample with the controlled sample. But there are many more variables in the wild, including time. And so in this study, the authors compared shark population trends before and after a shark fisheries management plan was put in place in 1993, and then used the populations after 1993 in this area as the control, and compared them with populations in other areas along the coast of the West Atlantic. These areas have different amounts of fishing activity or fishing exposure, and also different types of management actions, and some areas have no management plans at all. Now, since 1993, under the Shark Fisheries Management Plan, people are only allowed to catch certain species of sharks and have to report their catch. And all these regulations have been strongly enforced since 1993. And the authors found that of the 11 shark species that were declining before 1993, 9 of them were no longer declining after the management plan was put in place, and 6 of them have even started increasing, albeit slowly. Now, figure 2 in the paper summarizes the main study results clearly. In this figure, the authors used a map, different color schemes, and lollipop charts, which are a variant of the classic bar chart, and skillfully used the space by dividing the figure into 4 panels from left to right and presenting data from 3 regions from top to bottom. They reported that strong fisheries management reduces extinction risk, and extinction risk is higher where there is more fishing going on, or in other words, where fishing exposure is higher. But strong management can offset intermediate fishing exposure, and the extinction risk can actually be lower than in areas where exposure is low, but management is only intermediate. But what was very clear is that high fishing exposure and weak management led to high extinction risk, which could be up to 4 times higher. Now, the good news is that even long-living species that have large home ranges can recover from overfishing if there is strong regulation, enforcement, and monitoring. But the authors also point out that management strategies can only be effective in reducing biodiversity loss if they are consistently applied throughout a species' entire home range, and preferably for many species, so that protecting one species at one location does not lead to overfishing of another species at another place. Thank you very much for spending time with me today. I hope you've enjoyed this message of hope as much as I have.
Asking the right questions is key to making breakthrough scientific discoveries and advancements. And as the research landscape grows more competitive and complex, finding innovative, interdisciplinary research ideas is more important than ever. The right questions address the most important issues in your field and make it easier for you to conduct high-impact research. At EdOns, we can help you to generate these questions, outline a potential study, and present it in a way that helps you to secure funding and quickly make your idea a reality. Our team of creative experts will conduct a deep analysis of the research landscape in your field, identifying gaps, finding the right questions, and helping you find inspiration for your next project. We can also help develop innovative study concepts, a synopsis, and a full protocol, so you'll have a study that is very likely to be accepted by a high-impact, peer-reviewed publication. Let EdOns help you to make informed decisions, save time, money, and resources, so that you can advance your field and make the world a better place.